Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, that's 12 to 3 Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show. Fox Sports Radio. The Doug Gottlieb Show is brought to you by Discover Card. We treat you like you'd treat you. Baseball. I love you. I love you. I love you. I really do. And I told you earlier this week that I don't hate to say I told you so. Nobody really hates to say I told you so. Right? On the Browns, hiring an unproven coach to coach a team full of personalities, an undersized, marginally athletic by NFL quarterback standards, quarterback in a franchise that has no culture of winning, hiring a completely unproven former running backs coach to be your head coach in a year where you have such huge expectations, having this type of slow, disappointing, dysfunctional start, I don't hate to say it, I told you so. But you can't. You can't do the I told you so. You can't do the right. You can't do the who told you this guy unless you're willing to do this. Sometimes we're wrong. And last year, I told you how many times during the playoffs it was a bad night for analytics. Well, with two thumbs pointed in this way, I can tell you that I have been wrong. That analytics, while not the sole answer to every one of our problems, do in fact give us percentage chances of things playing out. They give us a great statistical baseline to begin any sort of decision. And last night, Los Dodgers, the Dodgers to the rest of the world, the, by anyone's estimation, best team in Major League Baseball, a team who had been to the last two World Series, they were eliminated at home at Chavez Ravine by the Washington Nationals, a team that has traditionally, and again, they haven't been around long enough to be a tradition, but traditionally underachieved in the playoffs. Now, we can sit here and argue whether or not it should be a seven-game series. But the fact is, you had a 3-1 lead at home entering the eighth inning in your park. You had more comeback wins than anybody in baseball. You played in the last two World Series, so it's not like your players, your pitchers, your closer hasn't pitched in high-leverage situations in the past. You get out of the seventh inning with a Clayton Kershaw strikeout on just four pitches. And Kershaw gives up back-to-back home runs on just two pitches. On just two pitches. One, which felt like a good pitch out of the strike zone, but it was at the shoe tops of a guy who's having a great year for the Nationals. And the other one was Juan Soto, who it was lefty-lefty matchup. But man, that was a breaking ball that did not break, and that's a ball that has not landed yet. What's the line from the movie? Any ball that travels that far needs a stewardess on it? Holy hell, he hit that one a mile. You go back and watch, and we'll tweet out Juan Solo hitting that that slider that did not move from Clayton Kershaw, and I showed it to my son. That is how you hit a baseball. But last night was a win for analytics and a loss for all of those go by feel, go by history of a guy, go by name. You got the numbers right in front of you, bro. Here's Dave Roberts, for now manager of the Dodgers, on what happened with Kershaw in relief last night.
He's a pro, you know, probably the best pitcher of our generation. And for him to make himself available tonight and got us out of a big spot right there. And, you know, it just didn't work out. You know, there's always going to be second guessing when things don't work out. But, you know, I'll take my chances any day on Clayton. And it just didn't work out right there. It's not about analytics. It's about he's one of the best pitchers in the game. And for him to go out there and throw four pitches and to go back out there and get two hitters, I felt really good about that. So, you know, it's more of, I don't think it was an analytic question. You know, it's a guy that I believe in, I trust, and it didn't work out.
He's not one of the best pitchers in baseball anymore. He's your third best starter. He's a starter, not a reliever. That's not what he does. And you're going by what he's done over the past 10 years, not what he's done in these situations in the past or these situations this year. And oh yeah, by the way, making yourself available is great. Clayton Kershaw has been great, is a great teammate. He's actually better in the postseason than people will give him credit. He hasn't been he's had some moments where he's shown the ability to nut up and be incredibly clutch. But Dave Roberts not admitting it was a mistake. Come on. Here's Dave Martinez.
He's still a great pitcher and very competitive. His velo isn't what it used to be, but he knows how to pitch. And that's why he's so successful.
Not what it used to be. The opposing manager's like, hey, his velo is not what it used to be. That's the difference. What's the difference in a slider at 92 as opposed to at 89? There you go. At 92, it saws off your bat or you swing and you miss. At 89, it ends up in the parking lot. They always say sports is a game of inches, miles an hour. It's that much. It's that much difference. Like, there's a reason that people are like, why are you starting him in game two? He's not your second best starter. Ryu is. And you had this as numbers. Adam Kolarik against Juan Soto. Soto was 0 for 3 with two strikeouts in games 1 through 3. Couldn't hit the guy. Couldn't see it. But they left Kershaw in after he gave up a home run. Then you have Joe Kelly in, who gets you out of that inning, and you're like, all right, Joe Kelly, who's had a very, very shaky year. Then they go to the ninth, and you're like, yeah, let's let Joe Kelly load the bases. And then Joe Kelly throws a meatball to Howie Kendrick. Another one. That was a straightaway center. Holy crap, Howie got all of that one. And they never even had a mound visit. You load the bases with nobody out in the top of the ninth inning in a tie game, and you don't even go out there and go like, you all right, man? No, I'm not all right. My nuts are in my neck right now. Help. Get somebody up. Or, no, I got this. Just needed a breath. Like, Dave Roberts didn't move. Do I move? Do I do something? Do I? And I don't know if analytics tell you to not get up out of the dugout, but hell, I think he was just in shock. But the idea that Dave Roberts at this moment, it's not about analytics. We know, Dave. But your team is completely built on analytics. The reason you had guys platooning last year was analytics. The reason they went and hired a guy from Tampa to be your general manager is because they used analytics to save money. You just do it on a bigger scale there. And now on the biggest stage, you're going to go like, yeah, I know there's analytics to say I should bring Kolarik in. I'm just going to go with my gut. You know, I may have lost back-to-back in the World Series. And I know that Kershaw, you know, wasn't great coming out of the pen, even the World Series. But damn it, he's a great pitcher. He'll figure it out. Nope. Juan Soto hit the ball so hard, I thought he might have hurt the bat. Like, the poor bat's like, man, that was too hard. And Joe Kelly's ninth inning started with a walk. The game-changing, season-ending, series-deciding rally always, not sometimes, always starts with a walk. Always. Inning always started with a walk. It's like every breakup starts with someone saying, we need to talk. Right? Not good. Every disgusting, disrespectful thing that somebody says all in front of a crowd always starts with the, hey, no disrespect. Something disrespectful is coming afterwards. Right? And every, not some, not kinda, not maybe, every extra innings, every ninth inning, every comeback choke job you have ever seen in Major League Baseball starts with a, you know, he walked the opening hitter, right? And Dave Roberts didn't move. Maybe he was like the rest of us. Did he just walk the opening hitter? Why? Maybe it was a, why do I have Joe Kelly in there? Because he went with feel. Instead of all of the data that idiots like me have said, like, oh, the data. But look, listen, the data is why they put on the shift, and the shift really works. That's why they keep putting on the shift. And guys fight against the data like, nah, that doesn't work. Yes, it does. That's why they do it. And then you see like a screaming line drive hit to short right center, and there's the second baseman sitting out there going, yep, that's what it said in the book. That's why computers are smarter than us. They just, I hate to say this. No, I don't. The computers are smarter than us. Yeah, we created computers, but they can, their ability to have, to formulate mathematical equations and solve them in short order are things that human beings can't do. Right? I just can't. Predictive analysis gives you percentage chances of something coming true or becoming false. And the predictive analysis told us what the right moves to do. And Dave Roberts goes, nah, I'm going to go with my gut because I'm a baseball guy. And they are home today. And though I like Dave Roberts and think he's a mensch and he's a pretty good skipper, that was a really, really, really bad two innings. And I'm not even a huge analytics guy. They have a place. You know what that place is? The eighth and ninth inning of a series. I mean, all the rest of these guys, they keep going out. Like, why do they keep going out there? And I get it. You know, if it becomes a turnstile, it's like surgery, you know. Every time you go in, you run the risk of infection or making things worse. It's the same thing with the bullpen, right? You go by the numbers, and sometimes the guy just doesn't have it that night. I get it. Doesn't live up to the numbers. But it's not like Kershaw's been great out of the pen in the past. It's not like you didn't have numbers or didn't have an answer to the equation. Kolarik was there for one reason and one reason only, and he's out there going like, oh, never mind. No, yo. Maybe Kolarik's sitting out there going, I don't hate to say I told you so, but that wouldn't have happened to me. Damn, Juan Soto got into that baseball. And we never lead with baseball, but watching that train wreck happen, I didn't really feel bad for Dodger fans because they're a-holes anyway, right? They just are. They're so good, and their uniforms are so clean. Their stadium's so nice. They've been to two straight World Series. Like, we underachieved. Like, dude, you went to the World Series twice in a row. You have all these great players and great history, and you had Vince Scully. Yeah, we don't, like, Angel, we don't like you guys anyway. Like, good, you can have a little of despair. But, man, that hurts baseball because it's becoming like Kobe and LeBron. Right? We're supposed to have Kobe and LeBron in the NBA Finals. We're supposed to have the Dodgers and the Yankees. Just once since Reggie Jackson hit three out in a game could I see Dodgers, Yankees, and now we don't. Why? Because Dave Roberts, he's a go-with-his-gut guy. You know what Dave Roberts reminds me of? My daughter. My daughter's 13 years old. She failed her most recent math test. It was an open book test. Open note test, excuse me. So the teacher emails me and says, just so you know, Grace did poorly on her test, but she tried to do it with no notes. So I go to Grace, what are you doing? Like, then you don't have the notes? I have the notes. I didn't bring them. Why? I don't need them. I got it all up here. Apparently not. One, apparently not. Secondly, when a teacher says open note, they want you to, they want one for you to pay attention in class so you take down notes. And two, they want you to get an A. They're like gifting you an A. And you're like, nah, I'd rather get a C and do it my way. Well, congratulations. Now you got to retake the test. You're still the best you can get is a C, but you proved your point. You can do the test without notes. Dave Roberts. Dave Roberts is anti-vax guy, right? Can you survive without the smallpox vaccine? You can. Most people will not contract smallpox, but there's that chance, right? Clayton Kershaw, can he get lefties out? Sure, unless he doesn't.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
When I watch tonight, and my big takeaway from watching the Giants and the Patriots is we're never going to have this kind of dynasty in the NFL ever again. Do you understand how rare what we're watching is? Who's old enough to remember Halley's Comet? It only comes around every 81 years. Is that right? Buyer, look that thing up for me. That's a buyer knows this stat off the top of his head. I'm sure. Like, they know it's 83 years. 83 buyer knows everything. Really kind of remarkable, right? 75 to 76 years. So either you're old enough or you're not, but like Tom Brady was a 6th round pick. Obviously we're seeing other undrafted quarterbacks have success. But you even go back before that. Bill Belichick inherited a franchise that had been resurrected by Bill Parcells. So it had been well built, right? And then there was Pete Carroll, and you end up getting Belichick. Now, you'll probably be able to get another coach who has failed elsewhere. But do you get one from the Parcells tree that has the autonomy that Belichick has been given? This is a really big thing. It's not just that he was given autonomy. It's that for the most part, throughout the success, the owner hasn't gotten involved. So you have something, you have a team that's built by Parcells. You have a franchise that's in a division that's completely and utterly dysfunctional for 20 years. You get one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, first on the cheap because you get him in the 6th round, and then on the cheap during the height of his superstardom because he's married to the most popular supermodel in the history of the profession. Could you get another quarterback who's a Hall of Famer in the 6th round? Sure. Could you get another impactful head coach like a Bill Belichick that's on his 2nd go-round so he knows the mistakes of his past? Sure. Could you get a team in a bad division? Sure, I'll give it to you. Probably not, but okay, sure. Could you get one that's built by Bill Parcells? Maybe one of his, you know, I mean, Sean Payton in New Orleans, of course, there are other disciples, and they could be well constructed. In a division that's bad for 20 years, with a quarterback who will consistently take less money than going rate than he should. Like if we stack together any one of those things happening, you'd have a small percentage chance of them happening again. All of them together, and you're talking 1 in 10 million. So, which, by the way, is like a scientific fact. You guys remember that from the OJ trial? Like what Robert Kardashian convinced the jury was 1 in 20 million actually meant there's a chance. When the truth is, the way that science works, 1 in 20 million means there's actually no chance. They just have to throw out the 1 in 1. So there's a 1 in 10, 1 in 20 million that all of these things could come together. That Tom Brady would never leave. That Bill Belichick would never leave. That an owner would almost never intervene. That division would this be this down, that was well constructed, that their style of football, that the NFL would actually blend more to their style of football. Remember, the Patriots were one of the first teams to operate on 3rd down throwing the football, whereas now it's become kind of the norm. Like they were always ahead of the curve. The likelihood of any of this stuff happening again is small. And And I think it's infinitesimal in terms of it ever happening again. The likelihood is we will never see another impactful sitcom for 20-somethings and 30-somethings like Friends. Plus, like, the idea of one show per week and you're going to wait. And it's like, now we binge watch everything. Except Thrones, I guess. But, you know, there was nothing graphic on the show. They didn't curse. Like, all of these things would never happen again. Same as with the Patriots.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Matt Money Smith is part of Petros and Money. That's it's called PMS, Petros and Money Show. Every afternoon on AM 570. And they've been doing it for 15 years or so now. And look. The Lakers, it's still a Laker town, but the Dodgers have been so good that you could say it's half Lakers, half Dodgers, and they're trying to figure out where USC football and the Rams and Chargers fit in. Of course, Money's also the play-by-play voice of the Chargers. But it was expected the Dodgers were going at least back to the NLCS, let alone the World Series, and really probably expected to win it. Money, like, I want to get into Dave Roberts' decisions last night, but they did lose two games previously to put themselves in that position. What went so wrong for the Dodgers?
Well, bad matchup, I think, number one, right? Postseason tends to be about starting pitching and strength of bullpen. And, you know, the Nationals had at least one half of that equation in those two wins. And that's Strasburg and Max Scherzer out-pitching Clayton Kershaw and Rich Hill, respectively. And I think, you know, going into those two games, based on kind of Kershaw's past postseason performance and as dominant as Strasburg had been in his postseason appearances, that would make sense on paper. And you're like, yeah, okay. So you play 162, and at the end of them, you have a chance because you have won 106 games to play game five on your field with your crowd, that electric atmosphere that can maybe help carry you. And I thought they did all of that. So for me, I know you mentioned we're going to get into it, but I do think, you know, this came down to two very good teams with the best starting pitching in all the National League going at it, and the Dodgers had that slight advantage with the home field and their best going up against the Nationals' best. So I thought it was set up for them to win, and I think it was, you know, with six outs to go, and it finally got away from them.
All right, so Kershaw gets him out of the seventh. Did you agree with him starting the eighth?
Oh, absolutely not. And there was nobody, you know, whether it was in a text chat group I was with or on Twitter timeline, nobody, no one, not baseball people that have been around the game forever, not just average fans, not one person that I read or was communicating with thought that was the right idea. And pretty much the overwhelming opinion was, hey, Eaton is not Rendon or Soto. I'm okay with you bringing Kershaw out maybe in a high leverage situation, lean on that experience to get out an average to an above average hitter. I do not want that guy on the mound against Rendon and Soto, two of the absolute best hitters in all of baseball.
Anthony Rendon hit, and I don't know if he's a low ball pitcher. That one wasn't really a strike, right? But then to leave him in, and he's, I get it, lefty-lefty matchup, and he throws one pitch to Soto when you got Kolarik out there who'd gotten him out three times. Like, what?
Well, you know, and I would just go back to the Rendon. Yeah, he got a low ball to hit. But, you know, look, there's not as much action. There's not as much heat, you know, so he could hit that. You know, if that's Kenta Maeda, who was their absolute best player out of the bullpen against right-handers, I feel better about it. I think every fan would feel better about it. If he hit that pitch off Kenta Maeda and you knew he offered it up, you're like, well, hey, look, that's their best righty against our best righty. You tip of the cap to Rendon. Same thing. Then you bring in Kolarik, and it's your best lefty versus their best lefty. And if Soto gets him, tip of the cap. That's all you want. You just want the percentages. You know, it kind of just not. I'm not saying this because you're a basketball guy, Doug, but, you know, like my whole issue with hero ball is, it's not the highest percentage shot. I want the highest percentage shot
and this is the thing. All of us can come out as radio hosts or, you know, ex-jocks, whatever, and say the use of analytics is overrated. Okay, but Dave Roberts basically said the analytics, and it bit him in the ass last night.
Yeah, I mean, what I, you know, not to call out my own Twitter handle or anything, but I don't tweet a lot. And as I was going through Twitter and I saw something Andy McCullough posted, who's a great baseball writer, was at the LA Times for a while and now works for The Athletic. He posted when Kershaw came out, it just goes to show you how little faith Dave has in Kenley and Kelly. And I, you know, retweeted with comment. I said, absolutely wrong. This is an emotional decision. And Dave Roberts thinks it's a fairy tale where he gets to have a happy ending for his guy. It's not. It's statistics and it's eyeballs. And there are no stats that supported him bringing Kershaw in, and not a single scout's eyeball would say, hey, if you have your choice of anyone not named Walker Buehler to face Rendon and Soto, not a single one would choose Kershaw. Not one. I mean, not one.
What about leaving Kelly in?
Well, again, I don't know what you're thinking. He's a one-inning pitcher. He's a guy that goes out, he reaches back, and he throws as hard as he can. Those are one-inning guys. That's not, you know, a finesse, Ross Stripling, someone who's used to being stretched out. Kelly is a one-inning guy, and he had a masterful inning. And Kenta Maeda had a masterful inning. You could argue, bring Kenta back out, you know, kind of thing. That, like, that's something you could have done. So, like, that's what I don't understand. It was just so against what everything signaled it should have been. And it's not just analytics. I know people don't like analytics, and there's a human element, and sometimes you got to go with your gut. But your gut tells you over the course of a season, hey, Joe Kelly's a one-inning guy. Your gut tells you that Maeda is your best right-hander against righties. He's been that way the whole series, same as you said with Kolarik against Soto. He made him look like a fool multiple times out there. So it was very odd, you know, that those were the decisions that were made.
Last thing, we got to run. Likelihood Dave Roberts is back next year?
I think very likely. They just signed him to an extension, you know, and he helped guide them to their greatest regular season ever. The moment got the best of them. You know, it happens to everybody. You get emotional. You have relationships. You have to try to distance yourself. But we're not robots. You know, we're human beings with emotions and relationships and connections. And I think he really wanted that one for Clayton. And, you know, that decision got the best of him.
All right. We still got to talk about Clayton, but we'll do it on our show. I know you'll do it on your show. Matt Money Smith, AM570N, the voice of the LA Chargers. Money, thanks so much.
Anytime, Doug. Thanks, man.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.